Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Zero Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and my life has become a never-ending cascade of mangoes for the past month. Send help. And with me, I have...
Y'all better watch Infinity Train next week. You hear me? I'm gonna have to smack you with my fist.
And...
Okay, now, you get out. We won't hear from you no more again this week. Look, we're getting sick of you, getting tired of you. Just leave it. Oh, wait, I gotta go. Can we do it again?
Foreshadowing, Mark. I understand you're eager to get to it, but in due time. Two boys, Everett subterns. But again, that's gonna wait for another time. Anyway, though. By the way, how great is it that in the year of our Lord 2019, we're getting advertisements for a Cartoon Network miniseries featuring Crazy Train as the soundtrack?
That is pretty crazy.
I mean, what are the odds that the kids watching? I mean, I know the kids watching probably aren't going to know what that song is, but what are the odds that their parents are either? Like, unless they listen to a lot of classic rock radio.
Well, you never know. Rock band or something. We were the generation who grew up with Guitar Hero, so, you know.
Yeah, but wait, did they ever actually put a fucking Crazy Train in one of those games?
I think it was in one of those games.
Maybe it was like DLC or something. We'll have to look this up during the break.
Yeah, but, it was a World Tour.
Oh, yeah. That was the thing that existed.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is episode 139. How's y'all weeks been going?
Been kind of busy on my end of the audio recording spectrum because audio editing is not fun when you have to do it for almost 3 hours worth of audio.
Yeah, that sounds like hell.
We're not trying to make our shows super long. It just happens. We're going to try and not make a habit of that going forward, but you don't want to hear me talk about that. You want to hear me talk about the new record for the Hot 100. 17 weeks.
Give it up for week 17. Suck it, Luis Fonsi.
Yes, Old Town Road by actual gay icon Lil Nas X. Sorry, Taylor, but your rainbow capitalism failed once again.
Yeah. And basically every other remix person getting in on this shit. I mean, we didn't even have time to slot in the fucking BTS dude fucking, you know, Old Town Roading it or something.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, but fantastic. May the record reign forever, because this is just, it feels like this is where the cultural zeitgeist of 2019 and this decade was headed. Fueled by memes and the internet, here we are. It's just too perfect, isn't it?
Indeed.
It sounds very, very perfect.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, not much happened. Just been the usual. Like, I work, I do stuff, that's it. Just do work, watch anime and some stuff and shit like that. So, yeah, I got nothing.
And all I had going on for me was that I finished my final, you know, for the summer semester, and now I get a couple weeks, you know, well, doing the day job, but at least no fucking classes until... But it is what it is. So, I guess this is the part where we move on to our usual business. Of course, as always, we start with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a link to a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along and hear these songs in person for yourselves. Because I very well can't put them in this podcast, because that would probably violate some rules. Anyway, starting off at the top here. Here's a name I haven't heard in a couple years. Mr. I Don't Fuck With You, Big Sean. Apparently he's got a new song out. It's called Overtime. It sounds like a Lil Sean or Big Sean. God, what? I don't understand the size charts for these rappers nowadays. It's all over the place. But yeah, it sounds like a Big Sean track. The only line I really get anything out of is, "Ass so fast she could work at TSA," which is, okay, does he spend a lot of time checking out TSA agents? Does he hit on them when they're fondling him, you know, to make sure he's not packing heat? And he's like, "There's only one gun, I'm packing it here, babe." Let's be honest, he's probably done that at some point. I don't see Big Sean as a very clever seducer of women, but why are you hitting on TSA agents, dude? That's just weird, man.
Well,
but yeah, I got nothing else.
Well, what is he doing that, considering the fact that, he did have a breakup with his long-time girl, Jhené Aiko, who they had a relationship once, they broke up, on the song, he talks about how during the past couple of years since he's been, you know, off the radar, he's been having with depression, all that type of shit, which, okay, I understand that. I mean, I've never been a big Sean fan. He's been somebody that's just been like, you got some here and there, but sometimes you make some stupid line go like this one line where he goes, "Is a hot girl something, but I'm looking for a wife." Okay, I did like the beat switch up, during the middle, like, I do like the beat of it, like, and, okay, maybe there's a couple lines I like from him, is like where he says, "Shit, I don't take a break, my nigga, I broke my heart, broke my soul, don't cry for me though, if you don't break nothing then, there's no room to grow, one mental block led to another, shit is dominoes, mixtape, Sean, I'm in album mode." Okay, I mean, like I said, like, I don't know, like I said, Big Sean's not my favorite type of rapper, but he's like, well, he has been getting less cringy throughout the years, and I figured, it's not his other single, which I've heard he got released, which I kind of don't care to talk about, but it's a Big Sean joint, so there you go.
Yeah, let's move on to something that at least has some flavor to it. So, next up here, hey, look at that, I feel like we're about due for a new Kyo Dodd album, and I was right. I was thinking that the other day, and I was wondering, and then this happened. So, yeah, it turns out the band's newest album, Blasphemy, is coming out September 6th, and we have the first single from the album, which, according to the Bandcamp page, is the ending track, which, aw, man, why do you gotta do that? I don't like when bands do that, even if it's a great song, which, I mean, this one technically is, but, you know, leave a surprise for us. Let that track off limits for single release. But yeah, the song is called Blasphemy, A Prophecy. And yeah, Kyo Dodd, for those who don't know, are a band that can kind of be all over the place if you look at the broad, you know, path of their career, from like chamber music to atmospheric black metal to their last album, for example, Plastic House on Base of Sky, which kind of had a very like dark ambient meets The Cure sort of thing going on. And it kind of feels like there's a bit of a take on that with this song. When you listen to it at first, it opens with like this steady tom groove with these floaty synths and a, you know, the writing bass with these dingy ambient guitars that, you know, sort of swell and join in the mix and begin to build this very melancholic atmosphere. But here at the same time, you can kind of hear it's trying to do like a sort of like grungy, sort of suffocating kind of atmosphere thing. It feels more grandiose in its aims than the more sort of floatiness of Plastic House was. But as always, I'm very interested. You know, give them credit where it's due. They're not content to release the same album over and over again. So I'll be the pretentious douche there on September 6th here to listen.
I mean, this is good and atmospheric and all that stuff, but I really don't know what to think about this one. I'm going to have to sleep on this. Maybe let it percolate in my brain a little longer. It's good, but I don't know. I mean, I was left with more questions than anything else.
Ooh, percolate. We're using big words here. But, time to move on to the next track. This one being a one-off here from a recent XXL freshman, Rico Nasty. Which reminds me, I haven't checked out the ciphers yet. We should probably do that for next week. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, this track is called Time Flies, and immediately it is decidedly less abrasive than what we know and love her for. I mean, when you're listening to the opening lyrics, it's moody-ass shit like, "Had so many friends, gotta go, wonder when it'll be my time." And the beat itself isn't even really, like, a lot of shouting and screaming. It Hell, it kind of sounds weirdly like a trap remix of, like, an Anna Monoguchi instrumental. Especially when you hear, like, the way her more... I think it's kind of auto-tuned in there, like, her actual flow. Like, as you're listening to, you know, her, you know, rap these melancholic lyrics and shit, it's like... It certainly shows some flexibility on her part, but it will take some getting used to if you're used to her just fucking, you know, tearing shit up on the mic.
Yeah, I can say... I want to say that it sounds like a better version of what Lil Uzi usually would do. I mean, the beat sounds something like he would be on. Like even like the even like I'm looking on the Stereo Gum article, and you see like the, you know, the video title card, which look like a weird anime looking girl that looked like something from a Trigger show or something, with spikes and, you know, with the name which right now I see the name Rico on her hair and Assy on the bottom. But she was like, okay, that is a weird freaky design. But I was like, I do like this. I like him for a longer time. Like, I do kind of feel more of this from her. Like, yeah, I will say it's, the abrasiveness is toned down, but it's still not, at least not as much as her other songs. Have you on there, but yeah, track's pretty solid.
Right, now, time to move on to the next track here, this past week's entry into the Adult Swim Singles program, and this one comes courtesy of two musicians teaming up here. We have Gavin Reyna Rusom of LCD Sound System, and a rapper named Casey Ortiz. This on a track called Heaven's Highway, and, okay, Mark, help me out here, I got no idea what to make of this. I am confused, and I don't know who any of these people are.
I looked up a bit of, well, maybe a little bit of Casey Ortiz. Like, they're both, you know, artists of, of the, LGBTQ community, and...
very nice.
Yes, and I do say this track here is... It's quite the bop. It's quite, you know, a banger. Which got this very, but very chaotic and something you expect somebody to hear from, somebody who comes from LCD sound system, but, you know, more of a, you know, slightly hip hop, type of flavor, like, so that shit. And, okay, and I do like Casey Ortiz is like, he like her delivery on the track, especially the near end where she keeps on being like, there's a philosophy there, but yeah, this track, yeah, like, I kind of dig this track from both of them. It's pretty good.
I mean, yeah, I'll give credit to Casey Ortiz. They certainly bring a lot of the sass. That's really the only significant observation I have here. That I'm out of my elements here.
Yeah.
But anyway, time to move on to... Oh, thank God, something that's actually in my comfort zone. Oh, fuck, it's Blink-182. God damn it.
we're almost there. Don't worry.
Anyway. So, yeah, we have the official confirmation of when their next album is coming out. Thankfully, it's not called however you pronounce Rim Job Backwards. Instead, it's called 9, so-called because it's their 8th studio album. Look, I guess they're working on Van Halen math, I guess. But, yeah, 9 is coming out September 20th, and we have the latest single, Dark Side, and, I mean, I guess it exists. It's a song, it's got a hook, there's instruments on it, something about going to the dark side, even though the song sounds about as sunshiny poppy as it gets, like... It feels like an even more mediocre version of, like, a late-period AFI song. It's just, I don't know, there's barely anything here. Like, why are you still occupying studio time? Shouldn't you be busy touring with... I feel like the Lil Wayne stuff is probably getting to their brains.
I was trying to find a good way to describe this, and then it hit me. This... feels like a track from one of Jared Alonji's parody albums. It's pop punk, but in the same way that you're trying to make fun of it as a genre. Unfortunately,
where's the punchlines?
Yeah, unfortunately here it's kind of bland pop punk. There's no real bite to it. There's no aggression. There's no energy. However, segue.
Wait, what the fuck? Oh, fuck, that's right, yeah.
Pay attention, Robert, God.
Well, fine, whatever, fuck it. So, yeah, we have our next track here. So, I don't know if you heard about this thing called Madden. They released a new game, or they're coming out with a new game. It's called Madden 20, but who fucking cares? It's not Madden, no way. What does matter here is that, of course, these games always have their soundtracks and shit, and we got one of the cuts here coming courtesy of Denzel Curry and some guy named Tate Cobain, who I assume has absolutely no relation to Kurt Cobain's. Remember him? I certainly do. I don't know why, I just do. But yeah, we have a new single here called Shawshank, and I mean, it goes hard like Shawshank, and he fucking goes Super Saiyan Gotenks. Of course, Curry rips as always, but I don't know, I don't give a shit about this Cobain guy. He's just, he's occupying space on the track.
Let's see, Trent goes hard, check. Denzel brings his best, as always, check. Other guy does whatever, okay, check, but still, so let's try check. Track is, wow, 2 minutes. Damn, hip-hop songs are getting shorter to be every year.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that's like perfect soundtrack filler length.
I can't help but smile knowing that a Madden game will have a song with the line Super Saiyan Gotenks mentioned in it. Which, I'm not going to judge a man based on his taste in Super Saiyan forms, but really? Gotenks? Come on, man.
Yeah, Gotenks is fucking annoying. Plus, he probably doesn't even know what PEMDAS is either.
And how has he not done a track for the Adult Swim Singles program yet?
There's always next year, or however many months of break they decide to take between...
Do it, actually, Jason.
Now that I think about it, I should probably check how many more weeks we got.
Maybe on track 49, I mean, there's like, I want to say, given like they always give extra tracks, so given like, I don't know, maybe a month of this left?
Yes. Oh my god, guys, I just realized. Adult Swim's approach to the single program, they do the Five Guys Fries method. Think about it.
Yeah.
But, anyway, time to move on to the next track here, and oh hey, it's a name that I haven't thought about in a long-ass time. Or really, they're one of those bands like Veil of Maya where I'm like, oh yeah, they exist. Lacuna Coil. Turns out they're dropping a new album October 11th called Anima. No relation to that fucking Tom York shit.
Black Anima,
whatever. And we have the lead-off single here called Layers of Time. And, well, I mean, it opens with layers of straight triplet chugs and grooves from the guitars and drums all halftime. And then, of course, things get a lot harder and stompier in the verses. The rhythms are super basic as hell. You know, those syncopated single-note chunky guitar grooves leading into the chorus. Christina Scabbia sings and she sounds nice. Then there's that vague ambient bridge leading into the breakdown and the last chorus. It's a song, I guess. I don't know. I never really followed Lacuna Coil that much, so I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to think here.
Well, I'll be a little more complimentary and say that this group is one of my favorites, albeit imperfect. I still remember Shallow Life, fuck you, Don Gilmore. Metal bands, for a while, since Karma Code came out in 2007. God, I feel old. And yeah, their last album, Delirium, it was pretty solid. But if this first track is a taste of what their next album's going to be like, ooh, yes, more of this, please. I need this Italian heaviness to fill my Italian bloodstream. And, of course, a daily dose of Christina Scabbia is always welcome with me.
Sounds like someone's got a crush.
Yeah, you would too. Isn't Jimbra a lucky bastard?
The luckiest.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on from that to some deathcore shit. Y'all kids like some deathcore? I certainly am indifferent to like 95% of it.
Aww.
But yeah, we're getting a new, I think it's an EP, from the band I Declare War. It's called Downcast, coming out October 18th, and we have the single here, Grief for No One. And yep, Those are a lot of blast beats. The production is very saturated on those. The guitars are not that saturated. They sound like that annoying razor paper thin thing. You know, kind of like we got off the last, what was the band? I think After the Burial that had an album out in April. Or I want to say Algeon. I don't remember. The production, the highs sound very paper thin as well. But then, of course, when we get the breakdown 40 seconds in, that's when the chugging, the deep growls, the breeze. Yeah, this sounds like pretty much every deathcore song ever. Why did you paste this in the chat, Alex?
I just wanted to share it just for a little bit of fun. I Declare War is one of those bands that I can look back on and ponder the days of 2010 when deathcore was, you know, a thing. Plus, I really like their amusing cover of Jingle Bell Rock I hear every year because it's just, it's one of the weirdest covers you've ever heard, but it's funny.
But even weirder than the time Betraying the Martyrs covered Let It Go and made a music video for it.
Oh, I mean, with Jingle Bell Rock, they play the music straight, but the vocals are just deep growls and pig growls. It's hilarious. And I just wanted to share that for a little bit of fun. This next song, however, let's just make fun of it.
So, remember Third Eye Blind, kids? Yes. I sure don't. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what the fuck.
Something else. Yeah.
Yeah, wait, is that what it is?
Semi-drum kind of life. Yeah, that song.
I thought that was a Sugar Ray song.
Nope, that's Third Eye Blind. Yeah, that song.
I always get these bands mixed up. I'm pretty sure someone tried to sell me a compilation with their music on it at 1:30 a.m. in the morning on Comedy Central in the mid-2000s. But that's neither here nor there. But it turns out these guys are coming out with their own album October 18th called A Screamer. And we have the title track here, which features guest vocals from Alexis Krauss of Sleigh Bells. And, okay, what the fuck is this Imagine Dragons-ass shit? Another band, like, trying to fucking ride that trend. And this shit sounds processed to hell even when the band does kick in. Like, it sounds like a curdled mix of, like, Imagine Dragons and, like, a third-rate knockoff of a good era 30 Seconds to Mars song. And I gotta tell you, Krauss doesn't get anywhere near enough feature on this, because at the parts where she is singing, she sounds fine. She sounds way better than the fucking main guy from Third Eye Blind or whatever the fuck. I don't even know his friggin' name. And, you know, for a song where the chorus is Let Me Hear You Scream, shouldn't y'all let Krauss actually scream more? I mean, have you listened to Sleigh Bells? She's done plenty of screaming and shouting on those albums. It's like, what the hell? Like, as far as songs about screaming, I think I'll just stick with Ozzy Osbourne. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this is just... this is unfortunate. Imagine Dragon Syndrome claims another one. Long gone are the days of Semi-Charmed Life, and instead we have absolute bland, boring, repetitive, whatever the hell this is. It sucks.
Yes, it very much sucks indeed. So let's move on, because we got one more song here, and it's especially relevant given that I'm sure all of us saw the Crash Thompson video about the worst Pitchfork reviews. Almost coincidental, in fact. We have a new album announcement and single from Tegan and Sarah. Alex, Mark, Bats Up for Lesbians.
Yes! Bats up for our sweetie lesbian senpais.
Canadian lesbian senpais.
Yes.
Oh, Canada. But yes, the new album is called Hey, I'm Just Like You. It's due out September 27th, and the lead single here is called I'll Be Back Someday. Now, I actually did spend the last week going through their entire discography. You know, from the days of them being, like, indie emo rock darlings to the pop, synth-pop phase they went to. You know, the one that birthed that one song you know from the season one finale of BoJack Horseman. And, of course, Everything is Awesome, but, you know, we already knew that. So, interesting, then, that this song feels like it's going more back to their straightforward rock sound. There's definitely significantly less of that synth-pop vibe here. The guitars, you know, are pretty clearly there. The drums are decidedly not synthetic. Granted, there's, you know, layers to the guitar production that sounds all wavy, but it still feels very organic. And, you know, there's bits and pieces of, you know, the bridge that does sound like it's being carried by a synth, but overall, this is still a very, like, organic-sounding song. I'd probably say it's closer to Sainthood in terms of, you know, the more natural instrumentation combined with poppier songwriting sensibilities as a whole. I'm digging it.
Yeah, if this doesn't remind me of the mid-2000s indie pop scene, I'm not sure what will, but this is definitely, as the kids would say, a bop. It bops.
Yeah. So, September 27th, O Canada basically takes care of the new song discussion, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got news. So, stay tuned. And we're back. Our first bit of news is actually breaking today. And let's just get this right out of the way. So, Tool is making some moves. We're a month away from their newest album coming out, August 30th, and the details are forthcoming immediately, starting with two big pieces of news. First off, we know what the name of the new album is going to be. The name of the newest Tool album will be Fear Inoculum, an appropriately pretentious name. And incoming soon, you know, across the next month or so, will be the album art, whatever the lead track is. Presumably it'll be one of the two that they've been playing live. And of course, pre-order info. But on top of that, they've also made the announcement that this Friday, August 2nd, the entire Tool catalog, for the first time, will be digitally available on all streaming services.
Yes.
And I assume other formats of digital purchasing. Sweet!
Finally! Now I don't have to rely on YouTube to hear Lateralis whenever I feel like it.
Yeah, it's on demand. So I can annoy everyone in the station or when I'm driving down the street in my car, just crank the fucking volume up, roll the windows down. You're all gonna know how the pieces fit, bitches.
Yes, this is all good stuff. Especially for me, since the only two albums I actually own are 10,000 Days and Undertow. So having the other three on there, or the other two and the EP, I should say, will be more than welcomed. Which, God, why do I not own Anima? What's wrong with me? Or Lateralis? What's doubly wrong with me?
Hey, at least you own two Tool albums. I still only have 10,000 Days.
Yeah.
You know, that weird packaging with the eyes and shit.
Yeah, I never figured out how that thing worked. Yeah.
Maybe when we're sufficiently drunk or we've taken enough DMT with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
But anyway, time to move on to the next topic here. So, yeah, fucking VMAs. That's a thing.
Yeah, it's happening again.
It doesn't have Kendrick and Muses, I don't care. Yeah.
Always on a Monday. Why? What the fuck?
No one likes Mondays. Garfield said himself.
Viacom, just stop, please.
Shit like this is why people illegally upload and watch your shit on YouTube. Bastards. But anyway, might as well run through some of the nominees here and shit. So, yeah, let's, before we get into Video of the Year, Artist of the Year, and Song of the Year, let's start off with the Best New Artist presented by Taco Bell. See, because Taco Bell is important to me, as you all know. Your nominees are Ava Max, Billie Eilish, Her, Lil Nas X, Lizzo, and Rosalia. Obviously, the only competition here is Billie Eilish and Lil Nas X. You might as well be flipping a coin here at this point. Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah.
Will y'all get about Her?
Well, here's the thing. We like Her, but it's not about whether or not we like them. It's about who has the biggest chances of winning. And I don't know if you know, but Billie Eilish and Lil Nas X are the biggest music memes of 2019.
Okay, that's true.
With Lil Nas X maybe being a bit better at capitalizing on the memeage.
Yeah. Remember, this is MTV we're talking about.
Exactly. So anyway, let's move on to Best Collaboration. Of course, Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus on Old Town Road Remix. Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper for Shallow from A Star Is Born. Senorita by Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello. Taylor Swift, No, featuring Brendan No. Ed Sheeran featuring Justin Bieber, I Don't Care, which is also my reaction. And Boy With Love by BTS featuring Halsey. Again, just give it to Nas.
Yes.
So, yeah, push artist of the year. Your nominees are Bazzy, CNCO, Billie Eilish, Her, Love, and Lizzo. Obviously, it's either Billie Eilish or Lizzo. Let's move on. Best pop. 5 seconds of... Wait, they're still a thing? The fuck? I thought evidently. We all forgot about them like we should have.
Evidently.
Apparently.
But yeah, 5 seconds of Summer with Easier. Cardi B and Bruno Mars with Please Me. Billie Eilish with Bad Guy, also known as the meme song. Khalid with Talk. Ariana Grande with Thank You Next. Jonas Brothers with Sucker. And Taylor Swift with Shut Up.
I am swaying towards Ariana Grande because let me tell you something about Bad Guy. We all know the meme, boo-doo, boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. But do y'all know how the second half of the song goes?
I don't know. I haven't heard the album.
It slows down, brings in a trap beat, and it just collapses. It's mind-boggling.
Oh yeah, like, it is one of her best songs. Like, it is one of her best songs. I mean, it wasn't released as a single. It's just like it's a song that just got, you know, popular.
Yeah.
I mean, most fans of hers,
it's one of those strangest switch-ups I've heard in... Well, any song. It's so strange. But, yeah. Ariana. Give it to her. Thank You Next is awesome. And the rest of the songs, not as awesome.
Anyway, let's move on to Best Hip Hop. Obviously, this is where Mark has opinions.
Okay. Nominees are Woo the World, 2 Chainz, featuring Ariana Grande. 21 Savage, featuring J. Cole. Money by Cardi B. Higher by Nipsey Hussle and John Legend and Nobody Else.
Rest in peace.
Yes. Old Tyrone Remix, Lil Nas X featuring Billy Ray Cyrus, and Sicko Mode, Travis Scott featuring that one Canadian guy.
Yeah.
Ooh, now there's a matchup. The two biggest hip-hop meme songs of the past year or so. And you know what? This. I think I finally get Sicko Mode. I just want to put that out there.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, now, I'm going to say this. I think Old Tyrone will take it, but here's the thing with the other one. That being higher, if you give it to that one, give it to Nipsey Hussle's family or John Legend. Just give it to them, not the other guy. Cause I hate to think that he talked about, you know, his life and given how, you know, successes have been given to Mr. I'm number one.
Yeah, don't validate Khaled's hissy fits.
Yeah.
That's the moral of the story here. But anyway,
I just want to say my direction for this. I like Sicko Mode, but I gotta go to the top, to higher tier meme, so give it to Lil Nas X. Just because.
The memes. But now we should probably move on to Best R&B.
Which, wow, they actually acknowledge R&B for once, at least. Most of the time, like, they did it before, but it hasn't been painted as much since, but yeah, I'm surprised they actually put it back on there, which... Alright. And the nominees. Answer Pat, Make a Better Future, Smokey Robinson. Childish Gambino, Feels Like Summer. Her could have been featuring Bryson Tiller, Alicia Keys, Raise a Man, Ella Mae, Trip, Normani White featuring 3x2 lakh.
Quick math.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Who do you think I want to win?
Gambino, now, clearly.
Yes.
Or Pac.
Or her.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but this is I didn't expect to see, like, I never thought to see R&B nominee, but it's like, you know what, yeah, I do, yeah, Gambino would be a good win, her would be a good win, but my heart will always say it's a Pac, because I kind of want to, I don't know, Make It Better is such a good song, but yeah, like, but yeah, I'm somewhat okay with most of the nominees here, so yeah.
Yeah, and then there's Best K-Pop, which...
Can I just say something really quick about this first?
Sure, go ahead.
So...
Okay.
Not to spoil too much, but BTS weren't in the Video of the Year, Artist of the Year, or Song of the Year categories. And that got some of the... I'll be polite and say K-Pop... fans a little upset, thinking some things about the VMAs that would be a bit unsettling. My retort,
Tuesday.
My retort is, this is MTV we're talking about. They're not very bright. So instead we have basically a segregated K-pop category. Say what you will about that. It is what it is. Let's just go ahead with it.
And let's be honest. I mean, we don't even know much of these people anyway. Like, the only ones anyone would be inclined to give a shit about, especially in our circle, would be either BTS for Boy With Love or Monsta X, Who Do You Love, featuring French Montana. And yes, that's pretty much because of the friggin' bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I know.
Pretty much, yeah. Anyway, I don't know shit about Latin. I mean, you could pretty much figure Rosalia, Daddy Yankee, Bad Bunny are there.
Yeah.
There's Best Dance, which has the Chainsmokers, DJ Snake.
Oh, they still Dan alive.
Geta, and Marshmello. Fucking Christ.
At least Dua Lipa's here.
Yeah, sure. That's always comforting. And now for the opposite of comforting, Best. Let me get out the air quotes here. Let me just... let's see, 1 air quotes, 2 air quotes, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There, 8 pairs of air quotes, I feel, is appropriate.
Allow Best Rock. Me, please.
Go ahead. I'm out.
This is what MTV thinks rock is in 2019. 1975, Love It If We Made It. Fallout Boy, Bishop's Night. Knife Trick. Imagine Dragons. Natural. Lenny Kravitz. Low. Panic at the Disco. That one song you've heard 300 times on the radio in the past week, aka High Hopes. And 21 Pilots. My Blood. Screw off, MTV. This is crap.
Wait, Lenny Kravitz is still alive?
Very much, yes.
Why?
Why is he still alive? I don't know if I can answer that.
Sorry. My brain stuck for a moment. Why is he still making music? That's what I meant to ask. Sorry, I'm just so surprised. It's the year of our Lord 2019, and Lenny Kravitz still records. That I don't even know anymore.
I guess he's something to do since his character got killed in the Hunger Games a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that did happen.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Those movies were mediocre in retrospect.
But even again, his daughter was in Divergent. Yeah.
So and also did that really weird ASMR beer commercial, if I believe.
ASMR beer. You know what? I'm not even gonna ask.
Yeah.
We gotta move on. So. Yeah, then there's the topic of Video for Good, which I assume is videos that attempt to say something about significant issues. We, of course, have Halsey with Nightmare, The Killers' Land of the Free, Jamie and Commons and Skylar Grey with Runaway Train, John Legend Preach, Taylor Swift, Shut Up, and Abso absolutely no one else.
Oh.
The name you see printed there in the article is a typo. That's not there. Your mind is playing tricks on you.
Clearly.
Let's move on. Of course, for a lot of the technical categories, you know, best direction, there's Bad Guy, FKA Twigs by Cellophane by FKA Twigs, Thank You Next, Old Town Road, No New Friends by LSD, Taylor, all that shit. Visual effects, again, for like Taylor Swift's Me, When the Party's Over by Billie Eilish, Cellophane, fucking DJ Khaled here, editing, art direction. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's just a bunch of technical categories. And then, of course, there's the big three. Let's start off with Song of the Year. We have Drake, In My Feelings. Ariana Grande, Thank You, Next. Jonas Brothers, Sucker. Why? I don't know. Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper with Shallow. Lil Nas X, Old Town Road Remix. And Taylor Swift. Obviously, it needs to be Lil Nas X.
Yes.
Just because I want... Look, I'll even be fine if, like, Lady Gaga or even Ariana Grande take it. I just want Drake, Jonas's, and Taylor to lose.
Yes, that too.
Yeah, that too.
And then, of course, Artist of the Year. One of you want to take this over?
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, me? All right, I guess I'll take it. Artist of the Year. Cardi B. Billie Eilish, Ariana Grande, Halsey, Jonas Brothers, and Shawn Mendes. Wow, this is a list of what your average teenage girl would pick.
That's MTV for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I have to pick one, oh my god.
Lil Nas X, but he's not here.
I mean, the one... Yeah, he ain't here, but... He ain't here, but... I'll just lose. You know what? Fuck it. I pick Billie Eilish. Because...
Ariana Grande.
I guess you both got different... pop stars. I just picked the weirder one.
It's not that I really want one or the other to win... I want the others to lose.
That's pretty much our philosophy on all of these at this rate. So let's move on to the last category, Video of the Year. And, you know, Alex might as well, since he hasn't spoken up on one of these three yet.
Okay, so Video of the Year, the big one, the big astronaut statue thing, whatever. We have 21 Savage featuring J. Cole, A Lot. Billie Eilish, Bad Guy. Ariana Grande, Thank You, Next. Jonas Brothers, You're a Sucker for Terrible Music. Lil Nas X, Old Town Road between Billy Ray Cyrus, which should win. And because Taylor Swift, you need to calm down because I'm trying to be the ally that you also desperately need, okay? Meanwhile, Lil Nas X is here going, hold my horse, honey.
He is the hero we all need, and Taylor Swift just needs to leave, please.
Yes, do the right thing, MTV. Do the right thing.
What Alex said, with double layer demonic people, voiceover.
Yeah, and the people that you know, or at least people that know this thing is public vote as it's on them as well, and. I keep forgetting there's a lot of stands. Every artist got a stand, as in Taylor Swift got stands. Grande got stands. Jonas Brothers, I think, do they got stands? I don't know. I don't know if they got stands. Like, what I'm saying is, just go for Old Town Road.
That's the moral of the story here. But let's move on from that disaster and into a different disaster. Yes, again, Woodstock 50 o'clock. But I'm actually happy this week. I am very happy because there have been some turns. In fact, normally, if you want to see this saturation of heel turns and surprise twists and shocks, you have to be watching an episode of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure or something, which I can't do now because they're already finished with the season. But, yeah. Alex, proceed.
Okay. So, I believe it was Dr. Stephen Strange who uttered these fine words. We're in the end game now. And we're definitely in the end game when it comes to Woodstock 50, because just when you think it couldn't get any worse, oh boy, Michael Lang will prove you wrong once again, because he's a giant idiot. So, to catch everyone up, Watkins Glen International Speedway was the original host for Woodstock 50. That fell through because they were late on their payments and they never got their permits. I'm trying to calm down. So they decided to try and move to Vernon Downs, a horse track. Only that didn't go through. It didn't stop them from trying to appeal a couple more times, but the people of Vernon, New York kept saying, no, get out, or else we're going to start saying, sir, this is an Arby's. So, enter Plan C. Not quite under a bridge in Pennsylvania or a back alley in Brooklyn. Woodstock 50's next plan is to emanate from the Meriwether Post Pavilion in Columbia, New... wait a minute. Maryland? What?
Okay, wow.
So, you're going to take Woodstock out of New York. What the hell is it going to be called then? Oh, you're still going to call it Woodstock 50. Because apparently you have to rely on the brand name.
Plan C? This sounds more like Plan D minus.
Yeah, and the original plan for this was to call it Woodstock 50 Washington. Price tickets in the range from $129 to $595 for daily access to the grounds, which is a bit of an open-air amphitheater kind of thing. It's been around since, like, the 1960s. It's a bit of an old building or land development, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, isn't there, like, a band or an album that's called Meriwether Post Pavilion?
I don't know, but sure enough, not everything was confirmed when this announcement was first made. It was only discussions, because, you see, all the kinks have to be ironed out. Turns out, that was not going to be enough for some of the artists on the bill. July 26, 2019 was the day that this whole fucking concert festival blew up. Again. First it was John Fogerty. Then it was Jay-Z. They decided, now, no, screw this, we're out of here.
Now, sure enough, he only has 98 problems.
So, sure enough, later that very same day, I believe, yeah, it was 26th, wouldn't you know it, Woodstock 50 released all of the artists from their contractual obligations to perform, because here's the little thing that I purposely didn't mention throughout this entire saga, because I knew it was going to come up at some point. The original contract that all the artists agreed to in writing said that they were obligated to perform at Watkins Glen International Speedway. And if it's not going to be held there, then they have no obligation to perform for this absolute shyster.
You know what the best part is? You know what the best part is? These bands still got paid. They all still have the money.
Yeah.
Like, we still got so paid. Now... We gotta do shit.
So now, this festival has no official lineup. And also, just to add on to Fogerty and Jay-Z, Dead & Company also bowed out and said, no, see ya, bye, bitch. So what's the spin now? Michael Lang is insisting that the show will still, in fact, that actually hurt my voice, go on. But you see, now it's going to be free. And you want to know the best part? There was actually a concert scheduled for this weekend at the grounds in Columbia, Maryland. Oh, God. With the Smashing Pumpkins and Noel Gallagher. Oh, my God. Nothing says peace and love like hearing Noel Gallagher bitch about his brother for an hour.
How does this keep getting better?
Oh, my goodness. So, here's where we stand now with 2 weeks left. We have no official lineup. We have no ticket sales, or no tickets on sale, I should say. Yeah, somehow there are still no tickets on sale. Everybody's just pondering that this will happen if it happens. But putting together a lineup in 2 weeks and paying that lineup and making sure that they actually do get paid for performing and making sure all the X's and O's get checked off to make sure everything happens without a hitch in 2 weeks for a festival that might only be able to hold 20,000 people compared to the planned 100,000 they were aiming for. Yeah.
Times less.
Tick, tock, tick, tock. 2 weeks to go. You're running out of time. You have no lineup. You're in the middle of bumcrap nowhere in Maryland. I mean, Michael Lang, just as Michael Jordan once said, stop it. Get some help. You could organize a march to Washington to get the orange doofus to resign in shame and all of his cronies. That will still not be enough to clear your absolute tarnished, stained, and just stupid reputation that you have earned over the past few months. But goddamn it, you're going to try, aren't you? And we're going to keep making fun of you because while this might be the end game of the saga, we still have the denouement to get to.
Yes, the far from home, so to speak. The phase 4.
Oh.
I'm sorry. It's the capacity thing that's fucking getting to me the most. Like, okay, the thing is, when you look at it, whether you go with the original promised minimum of 100,000 or the original promised maximum of 150,000 to where it is now with an expected minimum of 20,000 and at most 32,500, you've gone one fifth of what you originally promised. A fifth. Nobody wants a fifth of what they were promised on anything. We'd rather have the full thing. A fifth is the most disappointing percentage.
Yeah, we want the whole pie. It was like this little piece of pitiful pie, which is sorry as fuck. Like, no one wants that. They want either they're doing the whole thing, or at least half, or I don't know. They
all because they couldn't get their mass gathering permit from the state of New York. Stupid!
The stupidest. But, time to, with that hilarity out of the way, time to move on to our last topic here, and that's the new album releases for the week of August 2nd, 2019. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from Russian Circles with Blood Year. We got a new project from North Lane with Alien. Fox News favorites Skillet with a new project, Victorious.
Oh, that's depressing.
Ew.
Volbeat with Rewind, Replay, Rebound. And we got a new project from Ty Segall called First Taste. So now let's clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, the name is Aura of Azure, where I will more often than not be doing stuff. I don't know what kind of stuff, but stuff nonetheless.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, Twitter, my type of media, my site, my number one, hyperneververse.com. So yeah, I actually did review that Dog Sis anime, and I say is, why did I buy that thing?
Even I could have said that. Don't buy it. It's not good.
Yeah, see, we did the Fantano thing. But anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@sewerresolution.com with questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on our YouTube channel. Subscribe, hit the bell tab, you know the business. Follow us on Twitter at @SuroRezo. Like us on Facebook, visit us at SuroResolution.com, where you can find written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that. Be sure to jump into our Discord channel so you can randomly repost things from ShitPostBot 5000 if it's Eric Andre or Barney the Dinosaur related. And of course, shout out to the producer Mr. E for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, see you again next week. And until next time, wow, we're like 2 months away from the Area 51 raid. Where does the time go? Oh, yeah.